We live in a world full of suffering, don't we? We all experience suffering at different times in our lives and different ways. Sometimes we experience suffering in our bodies. I think one of the reasons for that is because in Romans 7:24, our bodies are described as bodies of death. Bodies of death. Our bodies suffer because our bodies are deteriorating, right? All you have to do is wake up in the morning when, as you get older, and you realize your bodies are not as strong as it used to be. They're starting to wear out. And so you suffer when you're sick. You suffer when you are injured. You suffer as you are dying. Our bodies suffer. We experience suffering in our minds. Maybe the pain that you experience from your body, or even just the everyday pressures of life, feel like they are too much to bear. Have you ever felt that way? Overwhelmed. You don't know where to go or what to do. You don't have the answers that you are trying to get. Sometimes we experience suffering to the very depths of our spirits and our souls. The trials, the temptations, even to our faith. Is it any wonder why people want to dull their pain or even eliminate the suffering that they are going through in their life? Some will take drugs, become addicted to drugs. Some may even try to take their own lives because they just can't handle it anymore. You know, the Apostle Paul personally experienced and personally understood suffering in ways that most of us never have and never will. Later on in this book of 2 Corinthians that we are going through, he explains much of what took place in his body, his mind, and even his soul. And he was a suffering Christian. But you know, he also knew that all Christians, if you know Jesus as your Savior today, you can experience and you can understand suffering in ways that the world never has and in ways the world never will. Because when you suffer apart from Christ, mark my words, there will be misery. Misery. There will be no end and no hope to that misery in sight. But as Paul begins his second letter to the Corinthian church, he wants to point them and us to the consolation of Christ, or the comfort of Jesus Christ, the comfort that is available to every Christian, no matter what kind of suffering that you may be going through today. So please turn back with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We are going through this book, and we are just at the very beginning. And we're going to learn today that even though we all will experience suffering, Christians can also experience great comfort. A comfort that can only come through a comforting Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why in the verses that will be our text this morning, we come to verse 3, and Paul writes, beginning in verse 3, "Blessed be God." Those are words of praise. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us," and that's a description of the struggles that we go through in life as Christians, "for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation or comfort also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you," Paul writing to the Corinthian church, "our hope of you is steadfast," it's sure, "knowing that as ye are partakers or sharers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation," the comfort. I hope you got the gist of what Paul is writing in these words. These verses are all about the comfort of God, aren't they? They're all about the comfort of God. The comfort that God provides to Christians who are struggling and suffering in any area of life. Body, mind, soul, or spirit. In fact, the words translated comfort or consolation come from the same word, and they are found 10 times in these 5 verses. 10 times! So he wants us to understand something of God's comfort. You see, he knew God's comfort personally. And that's why at the very beginning of verse 3, it causes the Apostle Paul to break into praise and thanksgiving. That's why he says, "Blessed be God," or "Praise God for the great comfort that he gives in times of great suffering." And that needs to be our praise as well. If you're a child of God today, if you're a Christian by faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation from your sin, Paul's praise can be your praise. Because God promises his great comfort even when you're going through great suffering. So Paul is inviting us as well to praise and thank the Lord for the great comfort that he offers, no matter what trial, no matter what temptation, or even tribulation that we might go through in our lives. So this morning, it ought to be a time of praise. Praise in our hearts as we go through these verses and see the great comfort that God offers to his people. So let us praise God. First of all, for the great provision of his comfort. The great provision of his comfort, which we find there in verses 3 and 4, where he says again, "Blessed be God, praise God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who is comforting us." Who is comforting us in all our tribulation, in all our affliction. Again, Paul is offering his praise to God here as a personal testimony of God's kindness and goodness to him. And isn't that something that every Christian should do? This is one of the reasons why on Sunday nights and on Wednesday nights, we invite you as part of God's people, as part of God's church, to give him praise and blessing for what he has done for you. His praise ought to be on our lips because his comfort is in our hearts. And so Paul here to the Corinthian church, no matter what went on in their past, no matter the conflict that they experienced, Paul said, "I'm going to praise God for the comfort that he has given to me." And through this, I want us to know that no matter what we're going through, no matter what you're facing from last week or even this coming week, you can count on God's comfort if you're his child. You can count on God's comfort if you're his child. Because God will provide you comfort because of his connection to you. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, God offers you his comfort. That's why Paul offers his praise to God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have that relationship with Jesus, he offers you great comfort. You see, this special relationship that God the Father has with Jesus, who is God the Son, extends to all who are connected with Jesus through saving faith. That's why Paul says, "our Lord Jesus Christ." When Jesus becomes your Lord Jesus Christ, then his Father becomes your Father who loves you more than any human father ever could. And so, God will then provide comfort because of his compassion for you. In verse 3, Paul describes God as the Father of what? Mercies. The Father of mercies. Do you know that that is who God is? God is a merciful God. In fact, that is what God is known for. If you go through the book of Psalms, you understand that one of God's primary attributes is that he is a merciful God. David knew this. In Psalm 86, verse 15, he wrote, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Do you realize that that is why he wants to comfort you when you are struggling in your life? Because it's who he is. He is a God of all mercy. But then also, God will provide comfort because of his care for you. God's compassion turns into action, and there in verse 3, Paul further describes him as the God of all comfort. He's the God of all mercies, and he's also the God of all comfort. He comforts and encourages and refreshes every single one of his children. We see from the New Testament that his comfort is a strong comfort. We see also that his comfort is an everlasting comfort. And then what does God do for his people? First part of verse 4, "He who is the God of mercies and the God of all comfort comforteth us in all of our tribulation." Now, I don't know about you, but that gives us hope. That gives us hope. When we're going through a trial, when we're going through a testing, when we're going through a temptation or a tribulation in our life, God, who is rich in mercy, who is rich and full of grace, He comforts us in all of those trials. And God offers a continuous and unfailing supply of comfort to all His people. Do you need comfort today in your life? Do you need encouragement? Do you need a time of refreshing in your heart and in your life? It is this truth that will give you the help and the hope that you desperately need, no matter what kind of suffering that you face. You see, we all struggle in different ways. And yet God's great comfort can be applied to all of our situations and all of our challenges. Even as Annie Flint once wrote in her great hymn, "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added afflictions, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace." And then the chorus, "His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power, no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again." You can praise God for the great provision of His comfort today if you are a child of His. No matter what you're going through, He giveth and He giveth and He giveth again. It's unending. It's unending as the source of God is unending, and it's unending in its supply. But we can also praise God, secondly, for the great purpose of His comfort. The great purpose of His comfort, which we find in the rest of verse 4. He says, God is comforting us in all of our tribulation. Why? So that we, as His children, may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Do you know that God not only wants to encourage you when you are suffering, but He also wants you to encourage others when they're suffering and struggling through life? In fact, that is one of the great purposes of God's comfort. And I know that He will give you enough comfort to spare and enough comfort to share with those who are struggling along with you. You know, He wants there to be an extension of His comfort to others. This is part of God's purpose for your own challenges. And I want you to see, if you're a Christian today, this puts your suffering, whatever it is, whether it's a body, mind, spirit, whatever, this puts your suffering in perspective. Because as you suffer, God gives grace, God gives comfort for the purpose of you taking that same comfort and encouraging and helping others through the times of their need. It's not just to take His comfort for yourself, but then to give His comfort to others. He wants there to be an extension of His comfort to others. This is not unlike the lives of the Old Testament saints as well. Paul put it this way in Romans 15, verse 4. He says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," referring to the Old Testament, "were written for our learning." So the trials that Abraham went through and the trials that the prophets went through, the trials and struggles that David went through, all of those things were written for our learning so that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. In other words, the comfort that God gave to those Old Testament saints was given to them not only to comfort them, but also to encourage us today. And I think God gives us the same purpose and that same pattern for our own lives. God doesn't just give you that comfort when you need it to help you, but so that you can take that comfort and help others. Because a lot of times the struggles that we have, they get even more when we focus just on those struggles, right? But when we take that comfort and start thinking about the needs of others, how much lighter will our burden be? God is the one who does that. And that gives us a completely different perspective to our own suffering, doesn't it? You know, I was thinking about this principle, about God giving us comfort to share. I was thinking about one of the great examples to this principle would be my own mom. She struggled and suffered deeply when my father, her husband of 31 years, passed away in 1995. And God comforted my mom in ways that were very personal and very special to her, especially in the book of Psalms. She was comforted by God. And you know what she wanted to do with that comfort? She wanted to take that same comfort and share it with others. And she wrote a book. She wrote a book titled The Widow's Path of Promise. Some ladies here in this church have actually read that book. Others in her own church have read that book. Why? Because she understood the purpose of her suffering and the purpose of her comfort was to then share what God had given her to help others in need. If you're a child of God today and you're suffering in any way and God has provided comfort to you in any way, He's given you more than enough to share. So encourage others with the comfort that God has given you. You see, this is not a unique experience to my mother. Every Christian is able, that's the word that Paul uses, able to comfort others. Now you might ask, well, how can I do that? I may not have gone through the same problem that they've gone through. Well, you know what? Paul doesn't say that you have to. We all struggle differently. We all suffer differently. You don't have to have the same issue that someone else had to be able to encourage them. Why? Because you do so through the encouragement of His comfort. Look again at verse 4. We are to encourage others by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. This too is part of God's purpose for your own challenges and for your own comfort. You take what encouraged you and you give it to encourage others, even if your struggle is different. Maybe God has encouraged you with a special psalm, like God encouraged my mom with. Or maybe God has encouraged you with a special promise when you're going through a special trial. Or maybe He's given you a special sense of who He is, His love, His compassion, His care for you. You take that comfort and you tell and you share that comfort with others. God's comfort is meant to be shared. Do you remember some of the struggles that Paul faced when he visited the city of Corinth for the first time? He says that he came with trembling. He came with fears. He came with struggles. He was suffering. But what did the Lord do for Paul when he was struggling at that time? We spent a few weeks in Acts 18, but you don't need to turn there. But listen, Acts 18 verse 9 says that the Lord spake to Paul in the night by a vision and said these words of comfort. Be not afraid, but speak. And hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Do you remember those words of comfort that God gave to Paul? Even when he was in a city that was known for its vice and sin, and they didn't want to have anything to do with God, especially the Jews at first. But God said, you know, Paul, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to protect you. And I have a people. I have a people in this city that I will bring to you. So keep on preaching and teaching the Word of God and the Gospel. And perhaps Paul then had this comfort in mind when he praised God for the great purpose of that comfort. The comfort that he had received from God, he was now going to share with the Corinthian church because it was more than enough to share. And it was more than enough to encourage and comfort others. We need to praise God as God's people, that He has given us a purpose for our suffering and for our comfort. Again, that puts suffering in a whole different perspective for a Christian. God wants you to take whatever comfort He's given you and share it with others. But we also should praise God, third, for the great plenty of His comfort. The great plenty, which we read about in verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, and I think we all experience suffering in many degrees in our life. Perhaps this week there was something going on in your mind that you just had to give up to the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, you don't have anywhere else to go that where you can truly get the comfort that you need. He says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, guess what? So our comfort also aboundeth by Christ. Comfort, consolation, same thing. We know from our own experience that the demand for God's comfort is great, right? The sufferings of Christ abound in us. The demand for God's comfort is great. We see this all around us. You know, just a few weeks ago, there was that shooting in Las Vegas. A senseless act. of shooting and violence, killing some 58 people, injuring hundreds more. Suffering, untold suffering in the families of those affected, in the lives of those who were shot. But do you realize, as Christians, if you are a member of the body of Christ, you may even experience more suffering because of your connection with Jesus. You see, once you come to Christ as your Savior, the suffering is not necessarily going to end. In fact, it might increase. Think of the great cloud of witnesses who have suffered and died for their faith and witness in Jesus Christ. Many are known to us. We've read some of their histories. Perhaps you've read the book Fox's Book of Martyrs. And you've heard about story after story after story of people who have known Jesus as their Savior and wanted to share Jesus with others, and they were killed for their faith. When our family went over to United Kingdom, I wanted to go to one special location there in the city of London known as Smithfield. Because that is the location where one man by the name of John Rogers, who was instrumental in providing us the English Bible, was martyred and burned for his faith in Jesus Christ. And we stood right in the area, right where, right now it's a traffic circle, but there on a building, there was a plaque, and it talked about how he was standing there for his faith and was killed, even though he had a wife and 10 children still living. And there were others that were burned, known only to God alone. There is untold suffering for the life of Christians, right? There will be times in your own life when the sufferings of Christ or the sufferings for Christ will overflow and abound on you. Maybe there's a time in your life where there will be suffering in this way. Maybe it'll feel like the dam is about to break and you will be inundated and overwhelmed by all the pressure of hell itself. Sometimes it feels that way as a Christian. In those times, may we cry out to the Lord as David did in Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Has your heart ever been overwhelmed? Is your heart overwhelmed today? There's a great demand for God's comfort in our lives. But when you do cry out to God as a Christian, guess what? You're going to find that the depth of God's comfort is even greater than your demand for God's comfort. It's greater. The depth of God's comfort is greater. Look at verse 5 again. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, the stronger that suffering is, the harder it is, the more overwhelmed you feel. Look at it again, verse 5. So our consolation and comfort also aboundeth. But how? By Christ. Or through Christ. As Edward Mote once wrote, when all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. Do you realize that our comfort is Jesus Christ, if we have Jesus as our Savior? Jesus Christ is your greatest comfort no matter what you are going through. And that's why we can minister this comfort to others who are in need. So praise God today. Praise God for His comfort that abounds through Jesus Christ, the Savior. But we can also praise God forth for the great power of His comfort. The great power of His comfort. Now, verse 6 may read a bit differently in some translations. There is an underlying textual issue there. But the truth is exactly the same. There is great power in the comfort of Christ. And I'd like to read what the King James says here in verse 6. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual to the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is also for your consolation and salvation. Here in this verse, Paul is describing his own challenges, which were many. But he also is describing his own comfort, which was plentiful. Do you realize that God was able to use everything that Paul experienced for the growth of God's people? Again, look at what he went through. He says, whether we be afflicted or whether we be comforted. Sometimes he suffered. All the time, God gave him great grace to help him through those challenges. But what was the purpose? What was the point? God was able to use his afflictions and his sufferings for the benefit of God's people, for their consolation, for their own comfort, and look, even for their own salvation. Now that's powerful. That's powerful. God's comfort is powerful. It has power to strengthen his people. Everything that Paul went through, God was able to use to bring the gospel effectively to the Corinthian church. If he hadn't suffered, if he hadn't gone through affliction, he may not have been as effective in ministering the gospel to that city. Paul describes the same thing in 2 Timothy 2:10, where he writes to Timothy and says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Do you realize that God can take whatever struggle or suffering that you're going through in order to benefit someone else? Again, that puts our suffering as Christians in a whole different perspective. You might be able to reach out to someone that you never would have been able to reach out to apart from your suffering. Think about it. Maybe you have a disease, or maybe a sickness, or maybe you've lost someone that was dear to you. You would have never been able to reach out to someone or meet someone that needed that same comfort that God has given you apart from that situation in your life. Now, Paul was unable to do this on his own. But God's comfort had the power to strengthen him, and God's comfort has the power to strengthen you and your witness for the Lord. But we also see that God's comfort has the power to save his people. The phrase there in verse 6, "It is for your comfort and salvation." It is for your consolation and salvation. Every fresh challenge, every fresh comfort given by God had one great aim and one great end. What was it? To provide the greatest comfort of all. Salvation. Salvation. Eternal salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what our trials are for. That is what his comfort is for. God can take your challenges and take your comfort to point other struggling sinners to himself. So that's why, don't just take his comfort, share his comfort. But we also see that God's comfort also has the power to sustain his people. He goes on in verse 6 and says that this salvation and this comfort is effectual. It is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. In other words, the comfort that God has given you, the comfort that God gives other people, will help you no matter what you face in life. Have you ever felt like giving up in the middle of a trial? You ever felt like giving up in the middle of a temptation when your suffering feels too strong for too long? I want you to remember the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:13, where he says, "There hath no temptation or no trial taken you, but such as is common to man." We're not in this alone, are we? We all have sufferings. We all have struggles. But for a Christian, you can remember that God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted and tried above that you are able, but will with that temptation, will with that trial, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You see, God's comfort through Christ has the power to sustain you no matter what you face, no matter what you're going to go through this week and for the rest of your life. This is why we can endure any kind of suffering. Tonight, when you come back, we're going to be looking at John Calvin, one of the reformers of the 1500s. And he suffered a lot. There was physical suffering, there was mental suffering, there was emotional suffering, there was even spiritual suffering. But God was able to help him and sustain him so that he could endure those things and be effective as a reformer and effective as an evangelist, and effective as a pastor there in the city of Geneva, Switzerland. Come back tonight and you'll hear some of those challenges that he faced. Again, such as is common to man. But what is God's comfort there for? to sustain you and strengthen you and even ultimately to save you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for the great power of His comfort. But fifth, we can also be thankful for the great promise of His comfort, because this is what we find in verse 7, a promise of His comfort. Paul writes to that church, and that's key. He's not writing this to every person that lived in the city of Corinth. He's writing this to every member of the church of Corinth, those who knew their connection with the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And he says, our hope of you, Christians there in Corinth, our hope of you is steadfast. In other words, it's sure, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. In other words, just as you have the fellowship of suffering, you will have the fellowship of God's comfort. Paul wrote this as a suffering Christian to suffering Christians. And he wants all of us to know without any doubt that the comfort of God is absolutely certain if you're a Christian today. If you're His child through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, His comfort is certain. It is a promise. Paul uses in this verse three words that just ooze certainty and confidence. The words are hope. Now, again, that's not in the Bible a wishful thinking, but rather a confident expectation of what's going to happen. There is hope. It is steadfast is the second word. He is knowing these things. All three of these words can be used to describe every single one of God's promises, but especially the promise of comfort. So just like Paul, you can count on the promise of God's comfort in every single struggle you face. So keep your trust in the Lord, because He will keep that promise. But you can also know that the comfort of God is comprehensive. It is comprehensive. Now, what does Paul know about them? Again, that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation, the comfort. This is God's promise to you, Christian. Whenever you share in the sufferings of Christ, you will also share in the comfort of Christ. Whenever you share in the sufferings of Christ, whatever form that takes, you will also share in the comfort of Christ. So remember the comfort of Christ. Philip Hughes writes this, in the service of Christ there may be disappointments, but there cannot be despair. There may be conflicts, but never doubt. There may be afflictions, but never without comfort. Why? Because God is faithful to His promise. We can have this promise as our hope. We can have this promise as something that is steadfast and sure in our own life. This promise is something we can know without any doubt in our mind that even as we share in suffering, we also will share in His comfort. And what does all these things lead Paul to do? The same thing that it should lead us to do. Go back to verse 3. It should cause us to pray and say, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of His comfort. His great promise of comfort is powerful and plentiful and purposeful, and it should cause us to praise and thank Him who alone is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. So are you struggling or suffering in your life today? I don't know everything that's going on in your body or your mind or your spirit or your soul, and sometimes we don't even know all that's going on in our bodies or our minds or our spirit or our souls. But whatever struggles we're facing or suffering through today, we need to realize that without Christ, there is no true and lasting comfort. There is no true and lasting comfort. Instead, without Christ, you will be miserable. It's misery without Him. So the question that we first must answer is this: is He your Lord Jesus Christ? Because that's what He puts there in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of this promise of comfort that He expounded on in these five verses, 10 times He uses the word, it belongs to those who can say He is my Lord Jesus Christ. And how does that happen? Well, you need to listen to the testimony of Paul. Back in verse 6, he says, whether we be afflicted or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. In other words, you need to be saved. You need to experience God's comfort for yourself because of the misery that you have through your own sin. You need to turn all of your sin, all of your struggles, all of your suffering to the Lord by faith in Him. And then you know what happens? Along with all other Christians, you can see that God has a plan for your suffering as well as a purpose for His comfort. It's plentiful. There's more than enough to share. God promises His comfort for His people. So today, remember to give thanks to the Lord for His great comfort. I know that next month we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving, right? The whole month is kind of central around that one holiday that's so important for us as a nation. But in our Christian lives, Thanksgiving ought to be every day. Especially when we think of the great comfort of God and how it is so plentiful. There's more than enough to share. Remember to give thanks to the Lord for His comfort. And then, if you're a Christian, testify of His comfort today to others. Think of someone who might be struggling today. Someone that's not here. Someone who's struggling in mind or body or spirit. And just give them a call or write them a note and tell them something that God has comforted you through. A psalm, a verse, a promise, an attribute. Do you know, God the Father has something very special in store for all of His suffering children. And this is really one of the great promises and the great comforts that we all have. So much so that Paul could say in Romans 8:17 that I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with what? The glory that shall be revealed in us. That comfort will strengthen you when you're struggling. That comfort will sustain you when you're suffering. That comfort will save you when you finally are glorified in heaven with your Savior Himself. This is the comfort that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, let's comfort one another with these words and say with Paul, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our tribulations. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I do thank You for this great promise of Your comfort for those who know You and those who are Your children, because You are a gracious and a good Father to Your children. And so, Lord, I pray first and foremost that every single one here will know without any doubt the comfort of salvation from their sin. Because without Jesus in their life, without You as their Father, whatever suffering or struggle they will go through in their life, it's going to create misery in their life. Because there is no hope and there is no end in sight to the struggles that they face. In fact, it'll only get worse if they are apart from You. The suffering of this world cannot even compare to the suffering after death to someone who is apart from You. And so, Lord, I pray that they will see that they need the comfort of salvation first and foremost, so that then they have the hope of the comfort of heaven itself. And so, Lord, I pray that You would save them today, that You would show them their great need of salvation, and think of all who have gone before them suffering for Jesus, and yet were strengthened by You and sustained by You until they reach the shores of heaven itself. And so, Father, I pray that we will all be able to say with Paul that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and that He is the one who is our greatest comfort. And as deep as our sufferings may be, yet Your comfort is greater and deeper. And so, Lord, I pray that we will, with Paul, praise You today, that we will thank You with full hearts, knowing that whenever we struggle, whenever we suffer, Your comfort is there. Your comfort will abound in us. Your comfort will be more than enough to share. And so, Lord, I pray that we will then take our comfort given by You to encourage others. Because in doing so, that will lead others to You. So, Father, I pray that we will keep our suffering and our struggles in perspective this morning and give you the praise for all your comfort. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.